Welcome to Calling All Creatives Podcast, Episode 2. I'm Lindy Anderson, I am your host, and we are extremely grateful that our next guest agreed to chat with us. He is from Grenada, West Indies. He is an interdisciplinary artist, professor, curator, instructor, global leader. He makes his own charcoal, for heaven's sakes. My graduate school buddy, welcome Asher Maines.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice intro, yeah.
Isn't that fun? It's like a laundry list of everything that you do. I could have gone more, but I didn't. I tried to keep it as professional as I could, but
yeah.
I had to squeeze in the own charcoal thing because I think that's right. Brilliant, and we'll talk about that for sure. Definitely. So, Asher, you're in Grenada, and it's Grenada, right? Not Grenada.
It's Grenada.
Yeah. It is Grenada. Oh, yeah. Yikes. He's from Grenada, West Indies, not Grenada. Right.
That's correct.
And it's raining there right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. No,
actually, we can't.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet. It'd be kind of fun to have a little background of Caribbean rain. Set the mood. So we know each other from graduate school, from TransArt. This is my first shout out to TransArt Institute. We had a hell of a time there. It was, it was immersive, to say the least.
I was thinking about that recently as far as, because I think it came up on my Facebook that in 2014, you know, we were accepted to go. It's like 6 years ago now.
Oh my gosh, it has been 6 years.
So time definitely flies, but also it's been good to know you for that long, you know?
Right, exactly. We're almost close to a decade.
Yep.
We should have a we should have a reunion. Yeah, a 10-year TransArt reunion. I think people would be down with that.
It'd be good.
Yes, it would. But, so, in graduate school, you were primarily a painter.
I think that's what you kind of came in, with painting as my, main thing.
Your main thing. So then you left graduate school, not a painter.
Which I hear is, what they tried to do to you, but I was definitely juggling more things when I left, installation video and really just dealing with materials.
So talk about materials, because I know that's pretty much the foundation of your practice is, and I guess I can safely say that, but things might have changed. You know, I know that you're still focusing on found objects of your location and.
Exactly. So a lot of it is definitely based on, or based in where I am in the world, as far as, you know, access to materials in the fine art sense. Is less conventional. So, I mean, anyone who has a serious practice of painting and so on here would have, you know, brought all their things with them at some point or had it sent down just because you don't have art stores and, you know, in a conventional way. And it was when I was doing the first year project, the portraits for cocoa farmers in Grenada, that I realized through conversation with the cocoa farmers that we take it for granted, but the art conversation is fairly exclusive. If you start it with, you know, you need brushes and linseed oil and canvas and stretcher frame, and you need all these things before you can even start to art, you know? And so ideally, especially in that community, having a conversation about art shouldn't be exclusive. You know, we should start with, well, we start with ideas and then we kind of see what we have around to express those ideas. And so that's my practice definitely took a turn after that.
Do you feel like Art School Greens is based off that principle?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, and I started that in 2015, so it was like halfway into TransArt, just starting with short, affordable studio art classes for primarily working adults. So people who had taken art at some point and then just stopped, that's my, you know, primary market.
Right.
And because, you know, there isn't much as far as tertiary education for especially art here. And so Yeah, I mean, definitely trying to bridge a little bit of that gap, as far as there are definitely people who want to do things, and I had a certain set of skills and access to a room where we could, you know, right. do a drawing class that we started out, and then painting, and then I brought some other people in that have done sculpture classes, or we did a cyanotype workshop a few months ago, and yeah, so it's definitely evolved, and we're still playing with the model in terms of, I think we started out with 6-week courses, and that felt like it was too long, like people had a hard time committing to that, and so we dialed it back to 4, and then right now we have somebody doing a drawing series on every last Saturday of the month, where they can, you know, students can either drop in or drop out, depending if they want to take all 4 courses or just come in for 1. So, yeah, definitely trying to be very contextual and listening to what people need and what comes naturally as far as, you know, what makes sense for education.
Right. Here. I feel like it's like a huge inclusive group hug of the art world. Like, open arms, like, please come in. Here is, we're giving you almost everything that we can for you to continue creating as much as you possibly can. And I think that's brilliant. Do you guys have plans? And I know that it's grown so much since 2015, but do you guys have plans in having other locations throughout the island?
Not as of yet. And you know, part of it is trying just to keep close tabs on it, as far as, you know, essentially right now we have it working at a level, and it's okay, right? we need more people that can teach art, especially because, you know, where I live is more of the populated area. It's like town area. And so we do need people that are thinking critically and have good skills to be able to teach, you know, out in the country or wherever. So, I mean, no plans to like expand what we're doing with Art School Greens, but very enthusiastic about anyone who's doing anything with art education or classes. That's
Well, I feel like you have, you know, and I literally just got done telling you this, but I'm pretty sure I told you this before, but one of the biggest reasons I wanted you on the podcast is because you do have your hands dipped in so many different facets of art in such a tight, small community in this world that is having this amazing glocal effect. And I want you to talk about that, because I think that's the future, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, most of the things that we do, and I say we as far as, like, you know, I collaborate with my mother on, you know, organizing and so on. Most of the things we do come from a place of, you know, if you were to social engineer a better situation or something like this, where, you know, art education doesn't exist for adults. It's like, you know, you look for opportunities to add, you know,
right.
which from my experience isn't what comes naturally for a lot of people, in terms of a lot of people will say, yes, we need this, but it's just the fact of putting some wheels on the ground to get something rolling.
And I mean, I think that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
You know, like, we all have these ideas. So can you talk a little bit about how you make these things actually come into fruition? And I know that, like, you're located in a space where your mother is a curator and owns a gallery, and, you know, you're a professor at the university there, that you know you can put things into momentum. But talk about that process, because that's always the hardest process.
It might be a funny way to approach it, and it's something I definitely learned over the years, in terms of trying to take your ego out of it. Because there's a lot of things, and just from my observations, that people will try and then they stop doing it because maybe it didn't work out exactly the way they wanted it to, or maybe, you know, they didn't get the response they were looking for, or
it didn't meet their expectations.
Yeah, and so when I started to do Art School Greens, you know, we started with a drawing class, and our drawing boards were essentially huge pieces of plywood, you know, like, we made a start.
Right.
And then And then after each class, we were able to, like, make little improvements on the room, and, you know, we were just able to tweak the model and what we're offering and so on. So, again, a lot of it was just making a start and trying not to wrap up your self-worth in how it goes.
You know? Right, exactly.
A lot of people look for fast results really, you know, quick, like, and quick is a year, you know, and it's like things don't always work out that quickly. So even if it felt like a building year, as far as it didn't feel like maybe we did as much, but we put the groundwork down, right?
Right.
And again, yeah, that's a pretty valuable position to be in too. And so those would be my main, like, approaches in starting some of these things or continuing. Because at this point, right, it's just a matter of having stayed on the same course for a certain amount of time. Like, we've had the gallery there for 18 years now, and
oh my gosh,
and that's something, like, anywhere in the world, like, whether it's New York or Trinidad or wherever. But because of the consistency, we're able to do some things now with that sort of track record that we wouldn't have been able to if we figured after 2 years it wasn't profitable enough, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's incredible. 18 years?
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
That's... Is there any other, gallery or art institution, I guess, that's been around longer than that?
There was one that started in the 50s that is, I understand it's by appointment only, so it's not what it was. But Yellowpui Art Gallery was started 1950s or so. Aside from that, no.
That's incredible. I mean, that's just incredible to be a part of that, because, again, it goes back to your practice. Like, you've really been immersed in this area of the world for so long, and really from the very beginning, well, I won't say the very beginning, but for a huge chunk of time, your family has, you know, been cultivating this this art, everything, you know, like, and that's brilliant. I do want to talk about a little bit about the Biennales.
Sure.
Because I'm hashtag jelly. That's just like, you know, I think for any serious artist to get to that level is gotta feel amazing as like an accomplishment. But for Grenada to have a role in so many years in that, talk about that, because this is, you know, tell me everything about you first and then Grenada second.
As far as
the Biennales, about your experience with them, why you chose the work that you did. Just kind of go into that a little bit, because I think it's absolutely amazing to hear about, and I could hear you tell the stories all the time of just...
I'm trying to think of where to start with this.
Well, let's start with your first one. Which year was that?
So in 2015,
okay.
That was the first time Grenada went.
So really quickly, it wasn't just you. There was how many artists total?
It was me, Oliver Benoit, who's having a show here next month.
Woohoo! Oliver.
Yeah. Maria McClafferty.
Okay.
And then we had a couple Italians that showed with us that international exchange, but also, I mean, the practical aspect of being able to fund the whole thing, because it's not cheap.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Continue.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Venice Biennale is a particular sort of beast as far as... it's unique in its country representation model, and it really hasn't even been it's been recent that we've been so global with it, right? It's only in the last 10 to 15 years that it's really exploded in terms of all these other countries that are coming in, because of course it used to be a very, very Italian sort of thing. And what the building right now that's being used as the Giardini, the central pavilion, that used to just be the Italian pavilion, and now it's the curator's pick, that they get to pick whatever artist goes in there, right? So just all that as far as context, as far as the whole Biennale has shifted towards this internationalism, which we see as a good thing because, of course, it means that more places have a spot at the table or...
Yeah, exactly.
Be able to, you know, contribute to dialogue. Particularly in, you know, thinking about contemporary art, because contemporary art's different wherever you are in the world, right?
And
it should be different. Like, it shouldn't just look like everyone's copying Europe and the U.S., you know? So for Grenada to be there, one, I mean, not a lot of other Caribbean countries have gone yet. You know, Bahamas has been, of course, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Antigua's been. And I think Jamaica's been unofficially. So, again, it's kind of positioning ourselves in the region as well, you know, as far as this is a place, one, where things can happen, maybe because we don't have as many institutions, right. And two, that Grenada is like a creative incubator where, you know, good contemporary art can come out of.
Right.
So, all that being said, I think it's difficult to describe because a lot of people have certain perceptions of what, like, being at the Biennale is like.
Right.
Particularly the way that it's written about, they make it seem like a glorified art fair or like it's all glitz and glam or that kind of thing. And it's really just not, you know, like all that. Like, of course, the glitterati and so on go and people like to be seen there and so on. And that's a whole part. But the fact that it's up for 7 months, you know, it's like after opening week, it goes to that very normal level of this is a very critical high level, you know,
right.
Art exhibition. And it's and being in Venice, you know, Venetians are not over the top, like glamorous sort of people. It's very, I mean, Italian, but it's also very hardworking and humble. And so when spending time in Venice, amongst the exhibits, the pavilions and so on, with Venetians, it gives a very different feel than what you, right, see in the media as right. far as. And so really what comes out of that is network building, for example.
Okay.
One of the people that we've worked with there, he does the Venice documentation project. So he goes and documents pavilions and so did some of our video work for us and so on. He's actually here in Grenada right now.
Oh, really?
For a month, yeah, because he wants to... As a result of us going there and doing work and showing work, and because we've had a relationship for a few years, he's come here to, you know, document Grenada and really for mostly his own interest. And to me, that represents what we want as far as especially a kind of post-colonial closed loop.
Right.
You know, because the colonial model is that we send all of our good stuff over. And so to break that up, we need some of that good stuff to come here, right?
Right, absolutely. Because it's two-way road, you know?
Exactly. And so, again, I mean, being able to do work that is respected and seen as on par with other, you know, global artists and so on, it really does mean that we're capable of more as a result, right? Because now we have more curators we're in touch with, we have artists that are noticing what we're doing, and so of course, and this is all kind of like back end information as far as aside from just showing our work,
right.
We're really trying to cultivate and integrate Grenada into something bigger and something that's happening globally as far as people paying attention to the periphery,
right,
but also just other ideas going on in the world beyond whatever's right in front.
Okay, let me rephrase this. I didn't even say anything. Would Grenada be interested in hosting a Biennale?
It's come up before. Technically, yes. Technically,
of course you would, right? I mean, I think any country would.
Right. And of course, lots of countries do have them, and it's just... it really comes down to things like finances, right? Like, that it costs money to do things like that, and where is it coming from? And, you know, because we don't get a lot of support from government,
right.
And then not we get some from private sector, but for example, if we had to raise 100,000 US, that's a lot, and that's not a lot in terms of BNLA.
Right.
Sorts of numbers. But we have locations, and it's a beautiful place. I don't think we'd have to like twist anyone's arm to come here. You know, that's.
No, you definitely don't. It's still on my list. It's still on my list to hit it up for sure.
Right. So it's just as far as it's kind of a back burner thought. It would help to have some more people working towards something like that together, so there's not just like five people trying to put on a huge thing.
Right. When maybe it's going to be an art school greens thing that I feel like you've created such a vulnerable open space for creative people to flock to. And I think it's really just getting them there, and making them comfortable, which is almost like getting people to do this podcast. People are like, I have nothing to say. And I'm like, what? Yeah. I don't think so. You got a lot to offer. Let's talk about it. And it's the same thing. And I could see the trajectory of Art School Greens becoming something that would be on an international level, whether it's a residency program or, show or being, anything like that. It's just, you're doing some pretty amazing shit down there, dude, to put it out there.
I mean, as far as a kind of baby step in that direction, what we do as far as putting on what we call the Grenada Contemporary Exhibit, that's really, along those lines in terms of, one, trying to get some of our local artists to think in that mode, because it is a different, it's a different process, it's a different practice, really, to convert if you've mainly done commercial work or marketable work,
right,
to think in terms of, well, what if you made something that was big and you knew it wouldn't sell, but it definitely had an idea behind it,
Right, and you had support. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is that there's, you're providing a support system for those incubators of ideas that are just going to hopefully, change the trajectory of everything you're doing down there, for other artists anyways.
Hopefully. Yeah. And so this past September when we did the Grenada Contemporary here at Art House, we had, forget the number of countries, but we were getting some more international submissions and so on, and that's great because that's exactly what we want to grow into. As far as maybe down the line doing something a little bit bigger and more critical, it'll be helpful to have this as a very established thing, right? But people know that when they hear Art House 473, that it's that's the regional place, more than just it's a place in Grenada. It's like, as far as the Eastern Caribbean, that's where things happen.
Right. I think it is. I think that you guys should start a podcast.
Yeah. I've been thinking about, again, it's just work and time resources, but like...
everything.
Yeah, just all the things that matter. About putting together like a yearly kind of contemporary art, review. And so...
Oh, yeah.
Trying to pull together everything a little bit from each exhibit. And like last year I was counting, I forget if we talked about this, but just as far as like taking stock, I was involved in organizing in one capacity or another 16 exhibits last year, most of it wasn't showing my work but just helping to facilitate. But it's like, if we were to document all of that, it would be really great to be able to show someone like, look how much is happening.
Well, and that's a great segue. Thank you, Asher, because I wanted to talk about your curating, because I feel like you are, you're doing a lot of it, and you have for the last year, and it's something that you're taking more and more on. And how do you feel about that in dividing your creative time for your own practice?
Yeah, it's tough. Especially because as far as curating, of course, at this level, and a lot of people would know, it's essentially volunteer work, right? Like, it's almost like community service. It's doing it because you believe in the good things that can come out of it, not necessarily that you're getting anything technical right out of it. A couple of things, aside from things at Art House 473, I took over... it's a small space at the airport called the Waving Art Gallery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they've set it aside to show art and so on, and up until 2017, they would just have exhibits up for 6 months, 10 months, kind of these really long extended times. Then whoever was managing it before wasn't anymore, and so I stepped in and started to do exhibits on a 6 week rotation.
Oh,
which is really quick. Yeah,
that's like you barely have it up before you have to take it down.
Exactly. But it's always fresh. It's always new. But again, it's always trying to think of the next thing to put up and tracking down artists. And so we've been able to show a lot of artists that way, and for them to have their, because part of the problem here is just not having a lot of exhibition space, you know,
right?
Especially for kind of general audience sort of work. So that's definitely been a thing as far as getting work that artists are doing, trying to keep it as local as possible, and trying to keep audiences in mind, because this isn't super conceptual or anything. This is, give the people what they want sort of work. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So something like that has taken my time. I'd like to transition what they're doing into a permanent collection.
And okay.
Partly to free some of my time up, hopefully, that I'm not spending, you know, creative time doing things like that. So what I'm proposing to them is that they essentially start to build a collection based on certain themes and so on, and we'll communicate with artists and say what they want, and right. I think that's going to be better in the long run, especially as far as a CV builder, to you're a part of the airport permanent collection.
The good old CV builder.
Yeah.
Well, what about this new installation that you have? You have a new show that you just put up at the beginning of February, is that right?
It's been a week or so. So end of February.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So the show is called Poetic Architecture, and I knew that I wanted to feature the structures that I've been essentially developing over the past couple of years, because I've mostly used them, and you can, I know this won't go on the podcast, but I've mostly used them so far to, like, you know, put up work.
Right.
So they're very functional. And then, yeah, this show I wanted to explore a little bit more about what they could be. Just as a piece itself. And so as I was setting up this installation, I was thinking about particularly visual art's relationship with language, in terms of whether there's many similarities or direct, you know, sort of things to relate to, particularly in the sense of where meaning is located.
Right.
And so the other thing I knew that I wanted to do with this show is to base other work off of this initial piece. And so it becomes very site-specific, but also very relational between, like, the art objects and so on in the show. And that's mostly what I realized that I wanted to get to, is this idea of using relation and dialogue as a almost default interpretive framework.
Mm-hmm.
Versus trying to identify what does it mean or where is truth. I think generally, and then, you know, this is stuff that I had written about, as far as in language, no one can really say what they mean exactly, and no one ever really hears precisely what the speaker was trying to mean.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
it's like tasting the same food. You're never going to never going to taste the same.
Right. Or, so similar with images, as far as we're all looking at a different image, right? Because of our history with images and our own thoughts and the way that... So instead of trying to find objective meaning, meaning exists in relation and dialogue. So it kind of hovers in between, you know, us. And so thinking about this show, trying to get people to ask questions as far as relationships, and that's... I think that's something that I've talked about in work before, and this is the first time that I realized, like, oh, it's even materials or a sense of place. We're talking about relating, right?
Right.
And so that's really at the heart of most of what I'm doing right now. So, for example, I have two paintings inside the wooden installation, and the paintings are done as far as reflecting exactly where they are. I can show you, and hopefully we can try to make sense of this.
Yeah, because we'll show, we'll put some images on the blog.
Right. So this is one of the paintings, and I did it based on the way that the shadows fall on the canvas, right?
Right.
And so this painting is about where it is in the installation, right? And so as far as context and meaning, this painting can't be anywhere else and still have its original meaning, you know, 5 feet to the left, and it's a different piece.
Right.
And I think that happens more than we allow. Like, we take things for granted as far as understanding, but also that sense of meaning. So with the light showing through the installation, people's shadows were being cast on the paintings as well.
Mm.
And so now you're affecting, your physical presence is affecting the interpretation of the work. And again, I mean, it means something even historically. If we look at historical work, it means something that you and all of your history and everything that you know about the world are standing in front of a Monet, right? That has its own meaning in relation, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I feel like it's fertile ground for thinking about things, particularly how can we produce work that's full of this kind of relational potential, but also how do we teach art differently, because we tend to treat art in a very, especially art history, pretty obtusely, right? Like,
yes,
slides and memorization and that, but that's not, for example, the way we learn language. We learn language through context and repetition and things like that. And so could we, in a relational or dialogic sense, be teaching images better, you know?
Yeah.
Closer to the way that we understand or how we learn language. I mean, of course, language is so intrinsic. Like, we do it so much more than we do other things. But, yeah, just the approach.
Right. And I feel like language is always has to be a verbal thing. We're never taught visual language. We're never taught audio, you know, like hearing sounds and interpreting those into that same kind of place. I just don't, it's just incredible. I don't know. It, first of all, it gave me goosebumps as I was looking at it. So we'll definitely have to get some really amazing photographs for the blog because people need to see it. But because I have recently found myself in a place where I had to kind of put myself in a relational setting of my artistic career and stuff like that. And really, what are my shadows on something else?
Yeah.
You know, what's happening when I do this? You know, it's not only applicable to just a visual art sense and relativity, but it really applies to so many levels. And it's so incredible to just like encompass it in this, and I say this with loving arms, a very simplistic armature, you know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, thanks. I mean,
wow, dude.
I'm glad it resonates as far as...
Well, it totally does. And, I obviously am having a full experience because I'm hearing you talk about it and I'm looking at it and I'm getting the feelings. I'm getting all the feelings from it and I'm seeing myself placed in that. And then that's immediately what I came up with, was that challenge of my artistic own creativity and my endeavors, and really where that painting lies is going to just mean something different. And it really opens a sigh of relief almost.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to put it anywhere. And you know, it's just like, it's fine right there. It's doing what it's supposed to do. And
exactly.
Oh my gosh.
It is a little strange to reflect on it in that meta sort of sense, in terms of creating art objects that will go into a different space and a different room. And we don't give much, typically as artists, we don't pay much attention to that, right?
Right, no.
Especially, I mean, as a painter, we make paintings and it's representational or it's not. And we don't know the color of the wall that's going on, but shouldn't that matter? It's almost like, in a linguistic sense, just thinking up a cool word on your own without talking to people about it and then slipping into conversation somewhere is like, wasn't that, you know, flibba-jibba. It's like, I don't know what
so
you mean.
So flibba-jibba.
It's something I made up on my own in isolation, and I thought it looked good. I don't know.
And really, it's a beautiful therapy, is what it is. And if we could immerse ourselves into that kind of therapy, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
I think we would be happier, more authentic pure selves. And that's getting, that's a whole nother podcast, because I know you can talk about that shit forever. But it's pretty remarkable. I mean, you're doing a lot of amazing things down there, Asher. You really are. You're just, you're really one of the few artists that I know that checks his ego and is really encouraged by what he can do to make a difference for other creativity and other people who are trying to do that and give them a space to have this relational feeling that they probably have never had in their lives. And right. I think that's some pretty amazing stuff you're doing. You're pretty badass.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're pretty badass.
Yeah, I stay pretty busy, so it's, it's easy to feel, like, worn down after.
I know. Yeah. And I will say that, you know, we reschedule because you had, like, a 14-hour day, and the day before I had, like, a 14-hour day, so we had to kind of bebop around, but I was like, this is our lives. Like, this is insane, and it's awesome that you took some time this beautiful Sunday. Well, here it's beautiful. I think it's raining there. And I appreciate you talking about yourself and your career and your art, and you're a great friend, and I'm really, really happy that we met in Berlin 6 years ago.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
Well, everybody.
Residencies.
Yeah, I know, right? So we're going to put a reunion together, TransArt. You hear that? We're putting a reunion together in Grenada for the first TransArt Biennale.
Oh, that'd be great, yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Right.
You will be able to click on Asher's website, look at videos, look at his beautiful face at lalacreativestudios.com. Asher, love your bonds, man.
Well, thanks. Yeah.
I'm so glad that you did this with us, and you have a great day.
All right, you too.
All right, bye.